Yeah, you're on the right station. It's just been a change in announcement. I'm Khalif Zephnat Pioneer L, and I'm your host. You are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Don't you touch that dial. That ain't right. Oh, you got your hollering plus and you want to fight, but listen, let me tell you something. Let me check this out. Yes, my dear. Thank you for tuning in to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Line and Broadcast. We want to thank you for coming in tonight. I have a very important message. This is perhaps our last broadcast that we're doing tonight, and so it's a very special night, and stay tuned for an exciting time. We are one. right. Good evening, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I am Khalif Zephnat Pioneer L, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room, witnessing here tonight. Our last broadcast, it has been tremendously exciting and great that we've had the opportunity to come and to bring you so many things and to share so many things with you and allow you to likewise share so many things with us these last few years. We've been doing a conference call now for about 5 years, since 2011. And as always, on this last evening, we are going to talk about that most important thing, and that is the Bible. And we have talked these years from the Bible, of course, not from the conventional codex or interpretation that you would normally hear in a traditional or conventional setting, but we have sought to bring you the deeper and richer meanings of Scripture as they have been written esoterically so that you can become the you were created to become. And tonight is no different. We're going to, again, traverse the heights and scale the heights and plumb the depths and widths and breadth of the love of God. In one passage of Scripture, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or the sword?" It sounds kind of negative, doesn't it? Doesn't smack in today's world of positive thinking. "As it is written, for we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." But listen to the good news now. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us or to separate me," put your name there, "from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, that's a good word for this evening, to understand that there is never any separation between you and the Creator because of this thing called love. Regardless of what kind of ill or evil that has transpired, it is the proposition and declaration of this document that we call the Bible, that nothing can separate you, nothing can sever the connection between you and the Creator or the principal force that is working within you. So it is a magnificent proposition that I'm excited about. I'm excited about this, and we've talked on this show about the subatomic quantum particle field. We've talked about wars, we've talked about racial issues, we've talked about inner temple building, health and wellness, as well as wealth and creation. We've talked about strategies to help improve and empower your lives to become you. We've talked inside the box, we've talked outside the box. We've attempted to bring forth from this document evidence that demands a verdict. I see my bishop from Louisiana on the line, and I want to pull him in right quick. How you doing, Ab?
I'm good, Bishop. I'm here at Marsha's house.
Oh, Asa the First. What's going on with you?
Well, he stepped out the door.
Oh, okay.
Marquis is on the line, too, I believe.
Yeah, I see Marquis over there. I see him on his line there. I saw his number there just a moment ago. Well, I tell you, we've had an exciting time. I think you've been here on this line just about as long as we've had it, haven't you?
Yes, sir, about 4 years.
Yeah, well, we've been here for quite some time, and we've covered everything in the world and the unseen world that we knew to cover in these years and talked about many subjects. And I want to talk a little bit tonight in the stream of love and the understanding that we shared in that scripture tonight. Basically, want to hear from the people tonight that this book we call the Bible, one of the major propositions that we've maintained. See, my pastor's on the line too. Hold on. I didn't see him. I see him now.
What scripture, Bishop?
We looked at Romans chapter 8. And I could give an old-fashioned lesson on that, but I won't do it because I see my pastor on the line. I just unmuted his line so he can talk whenever he gets ready after I finish here. Just one moment. I wanted to say we have always maintained, and Pastor has urged us never to throw this book away. He's always said, whatever we do, do not throw the Bible away. Keep this document. So we maintain that we could find enough healthy and wholesome information within the pages of this document. Although we have found some contaminant elements, we found that there's been some tampering with this document, but yet reverberating through it, we still have found enough essential directions and information that gives us a prescription for being made whole. And I can verify that, and I can talk about that, and that's a whole nother lesson that we probably covered several times. But let me approach it from another vein, if I may. And I want to hear from the two of you on this as senior preachers. This document that we call the Bible, in its constructed form, is the source in 1917 for the Balfour Treaty. Now, what makes the Balfour Treaty so important? Excuse me. Well, the Balfour Treaty was, or declaration rather, was the document that gave the nation of Israel the right to establish a state in Palestine. And what did they use? Now, I want you to hear me very carefully, Pastor Abbott and Dr. Prince. What was the foundation up on the Balfour Declaration? Simply the Bible. Not anthropology, not genetics, not the disciplines of history, not the disciplines of archaeology. Simply the Bible. They use the Bible. Listen to me, people. I'm telling you something, because this is very important with where we started. It was only the Bible as a document of proof that these people are who they say that they are. They claim to be the chosen race of God based upon information found in this book we call the Bible,
And through this book only, established a state and were granted land on earth from which the wealthiest people in the world have sprung and sprang from this nation, who founded their existence and identity on not archaeology, not anthropology, not on DNA genetics, not using the disciplines of history, but rather simply claiming an identity out of this body. I have thought these last 5 years to show a certain group of people their identity out of this body. If you take nothing away from those 5 years, think about this book and the Balfour Declaration and the State of Israel and the wealth of this people who base their identity on solely this book. Pastor Abbott, am I making any sense? Did you go away? You put yourself back on mute. Hold on a second. I'll let you talk before Pastor Prince talks. Pastor Prince's mic is open as well. He can hear you now, Pastor Abbott.
You're making sense. So you are actually saying that, are you saying that there is a people on this earth who actually don't know their identity, and at the same time there is someone who have stolen identity and based it on truth according to the Bible? Is this what you're saying?
No, that's not what I said. But you can make that be what I said if you'd like to, for that to be what I said. What I said was there is a group of people who base their identity on this book called the Bible. And based upon an identity and a claim that they made solely upon this book, they established themselves as a nation, a people, with a land. And from that nation has come the richest people on the planet. Let Pastor Prince talk about it. I know he can talk about it. Dr. Prince, everyone,
yes,
Dr. T.J. Prince,
pastor, yes,
of the Axe Church in Dallas, Texas, my pastor, my mentor, my friend, my teacher, my guide.
What you are saying is that has to go way back to the beginning and brought up on God's calendar. One of the things that some of the writers did, they just took the initiative. They think they're right. But as you stated the word of God, there is a peculiar group of people that only God gives their basic identity. And if you follow it correctly, you will discover that not only did he give their identity, he even said where they were from. But now notice one of the subject matters that means so much to us. Nothing happened until the Spirit moved. Now they are claiming access to a Spirit that they don't always exemplify, because they are placing names, places and facing themselves in many instances, not all instances, in a dictatorship by manipulating certain classes of people, and they are forgetting who instructed them to follow his plan through the Spirit. I got a problem with people that don't have no spirit, and they can profess to be something that they're not. So from that indication, we have discovered that some of the things that we have studied just didn't add up. But it sounds good. But is it good? So he told us in his spirit, he said, search the scripture that you might find eternal life. So I have enjoyed these past few years on listening to this, our class as a classic interpretation of research that has been done by a spirit-led servant of God. So I'm excited over what I have learned, and it's easy to get people mixed up, classifications, and it's a good thing because they read the back of the book, but they didn't tell all the truth about the back of the book, because in the book of Joel, it tells you who these people are. It tells you exactly where they come from. It tells you what God requests is. And he also emphasizes that something ain't clean in your appetite, because you've been led to one thing and it doesn't come out the way you've been led. Now, if they were in the spirit and he classified them, when you deal with that number 12, you're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. And when you break that down, somebody got to be in a tribe. And I don't know why he set it up like that. That's been my study and my research. So it appears that in Scripture, it identifies who these people are. But nobody want to talk about it. They wanna slur a group of people. A certain group of people had been the bad guy. They got the days and nights mixed up. They're trying to perfect something that may not be true. So as I look at it, I am determined to believe that God's word is the most valuable book that you could have. But you got to watch your study, because in the study, somebody had been messing with something, because they're so rude to certain classes of people. The people over off of the Gaza Strip, they have no mercy on the Palestinians. You know, I recognize the Palestinians are humans just like I am. I recognize that the Saudi Arabians, I recognize the respect of all faiths, all religions, all doctrines, and I recognize all of that. But at some place in the Bible that they're failing to read, and that is the 17th chapter of St. John. Hopefully that wasn't wrote wrong. But he said that he, in his prayer meeting, see, his prayer meeting is in the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I pray that they all would become one. So when you become one, you have nothing but love in your heart for all people that are here. And if you can't get along with me because of the content of my character, the color of my skin, you got a problem. You got a problem. If you're going to do all of the instructions and going to say, I discard you, you are not practicing the principles that were set before you that you love one another. I thank be to my Heavenly Father that I don't have nothing hate in my heart against anybody. I love everybody because I recognize that we are His people. But I thank God for this program, which has given me spiritual direction as what to look for. This has been a very delightful advanced study of the Bible, and I love it, and I will love it.
Well, I tell you, Dr. Prince, there are a lot of people out here now who are hopeful that some kind of UN resolution will be passed. I know that there are indigenous groups gathering, coalescing, making coalitions, forming groups, making covenants, making pacts. I'm in conversation now with a particular gentleman who is pushing for reparations for black people. They have some kind of bill that they want to lay before the legislative body of Congress and the congressional representatives. I've talked to various people that are looking for a prosperity package and a prosperity revaluation and looking for some kind of new kind of contract. And what I'm saying tonight is the wealthiest people come from this particular nation that used and had a declaration in 1917 founded on nothing but the Bible. No UN resolution, no, well, there may have been a UN resolution, but I don't even know if the UN was in existence at that time. Perhaps it was. But I haven't researched that. But what I'm seeing here is a book that was used to establish a people on this earth as a national state of people to give them an identity. And not only give them an identity, give them a land. And from this, they have become groups of these people, hands down, are the wealthiest people in the world. And what did they use? They used this book called the Bible. It was the League of Nations. Thank you, Elijah. Come on in on that note and see if I'm making sense, because I want to leave with this last message to all of these people, and maybe I'm not cutting it clear and clean and laying it down the way I need to lay it down. But there are a lot of groups out here with a lot of proposition. They got a lot of pieces of paper. You, when I met you, Eladia, there was a fellow out there that had a Resolution 85.
It's something like that, yeah.
And he was dropping this piece of paper on the Congress, 187 nations or so, he said, according to this fellow, who claimed to be a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. And the blood... And run running through his vein was a 99-point-whatever-percent match with the blood that was on the nail that crucified Jesus that was being held in the Vatican.
Yep.
And he is the savior of the world. And they had a resolution at the point. I believe it was H.R. 85 or something like that.
I think you're close,
Yeah, 85 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are others that are trying to put resolutions inside the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
There are other groups that are trying to lay documents before the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The indigenous people, tribes are gathering, and they have their own flag and sovereignty and all this kind of thing. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the richest people in the world took an identity out of this book. I don't know how to make it plain. Help me to make it simpler. What I'm saying, if you understand what I do, you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And what I could add to that is that there is a certain peoples of this planet. They're the oldest of this planet. They're the parents, if you will, of this planet, who don't need papers and don't need governments. It is their inheritance. And what it is for us who have this knowledge is to wake them up. Awaken the sleeping lion. And then, because what was will once again be. They are destined to rule the planet with peace and prosperity and justice, which we do not have at this time. That's coming. That day is quickly approaching. And when they awaken from their slumber, they will be a force to reckon with. And those who have ruled and misused the people, the environment, this whole planet, are trembling in their boots right now. They truly are. Because they know this mighty people that they have hoodwinked, they have lulled to sleep, are soon to awaken. As prophecy, it's destiny, it will be.
Well, you know, I could beg to differ with that, just as I could beg to differ with my pastor respectfully about the prayer he mentioned a moment ago in John 17. If Jesus was praying and he never wrote the prayer down, who was listening to him pray? We don't have any record of who it was that was listening to write down what he said. So I, if I'm making sense there. But anyway, we got to find this person that was listening to Jesus pray to know whether or not he really said that or not, or if somebody just wrote that down that he said, because Jesus is not recorded as writing anything down. And who was listening to him pray? When I read the scripture, whenever he prayed, he went somewhere alone. And when he told fellas to watch with him, they went to sleep.
Correct.
So I'm wondering how sleeping men could hear anybody say anything, and who it was in his group that heard him pray. So, but nonetheless, you know, what I'm using, even before 1917 and 1897 or 93, somewhere around that time, I think it was 1897 in the Geneva Conference, when this proposition of the Balfour Declaration was first drafted, it took to 1917 to get it into place. And what I'm simply saying is that we have a group of people that have claimed an identity out of this book that we call the Bible. But yet it is difficult to get any other group to claim an identity out of this Bible. If this book has made a people the wealthiest people on this planet by their assuming an identity, be it true or false, how is it now that we can't get certain other groups to use the same document to claim their identity? Pastor Abbott, are you still with me, or did you put yourself back on mute? Maybe I better bring in Marquis or some of these other fellows.
He's still there.
Pastor Abbott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm still not making sense to you?
Oh, yes, you are making a whole lot of sense, especially about that priestly prayer that you just mentioned about Jesus. I never thought about it like that. Never thought about it like that. I got to meditate on that. Yes, sir. But makes a lot of sense, Bishop. I'm enjoying it. Just keep on going, my brother.
No, I need you to put some of your brain power in historical reflect on it, because in a court of law, Brown versus the Board of Education was a judiciary decision that was made that sets legal precedence in other cases to reference other cases. So now we have a legal precedence or precedent that has been established in this 1917 declaration that a group of people claimed an identity out of this book, were granted a statehood, were granted a land, and out of this statehood and land and out of this people come the wealthiest people on this planet. Using this book, using this book, don't miss the point. There is no geneticist or genetic study done on DNA. There is no using the disciplines of history, tracing of lineages done to tie these people to this land. There is no anthropology or archaeology tying these people to this land. Simply this book, the Bible. There is nothing that proves who these people are other than this book, and they say that they are those people. And yet, as we look out on the landscape today, there are so many people out here gathering, making coalitions, tribes and groups and nations and sovereignty with this bill and that bill, and wanting to establish themselves, when right here in this book, The Richest People in the World, and I keep saying the same thing over and over. I sound like a broken record, don't I? Now, no. I could talk to you about how to raise the kundalini tonight, or talk about that prayer tonight, or talk about pineal gland activation, or talk about right brain activation, talk about the theft of history, all of the things that we've talked about. But tonight we're talking about this book being used as a source document to establish legal precedents that we can all look in the land of Palestine and see the state, Israeli state, established upon an identity taken out of this book. Now, whether you understand history or not, or know it or not, you know that Israel is in Palestine, and a flag flies over the land, and those people's identity are based on what? Alodia, let me ask you a question before you ask me a question. How did these people come to be? How did they get in control of your printing your money in the Federal Reserve and the World Bank and owning Steph Curry and the Warriors and LeBron James and the Cavaliers and the Dallas Mavericks? How did these people get in control of the NBA and the NFL, printing your money, controlling Time Warner? Controlling the media. How did they get in control of CNN and NBC and ABC? Mm-hmm. How did the Rockefellers get in charge of Standard Oil, controlling mm-hmm. the industry of mining and exploration? What is the legal precedent? What is the authority on which the existence of a people claim right
to this planet and the resources as the most wealthy people in the world. How did this happen? How much did they use to establish themselves? Answer that question.
Identity theft. Identity theft.
Theft, yeah.
Identity theft.
Bishop.
Bishop. My pastor is talking. Let pastor talk. I think this is my pastor talking. You can't cut the pastor.
Identity theft.
Yeah.
Have caused certain words that they wrote in the Bible that's coming true. He says, the wealth of the wicked. Mm. Isn't it this now? It's in the Bible. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's what the book says. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here.
But Pastor Brent, this is a radio show, so let me interview you and duck in respectfully. And so I can interview you, let me ask you a question, if I may.
Okay.
How are you going to get a people to understand that what you are saying, identity theft, when they are prepared to throw the book of weight that tells you about who you are and what your identity is?
Well, I have an answer for that, sir. And,
okay.
And I'd be very,
how are you going to do that, Dr. Friend?
If God's word is true when he says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, I think something was mixed up in the history of our writers when they determined the heaven and hell standards. I think the thieves, the reason why the sister just said that some of them are nervous right now, it's good time for them to be nervous, because he's going to set this thing in order. See, so there are a lot of things to explore, but they're going to perish. They're going to perish. And if you read your Bible, you will discover what they're going to be doing. They're going to want the rocks to fall on. They're going to cry out. The world would not be in the turmoil that it's in now. It's because of greed.
Well, we do know that the world creation is groaning. We do know that there's a strain. The book of Romans says that the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, and that the whole creation groans and travails in pain. Mm. In pain. Something is out of order.
Well, when you wake
up, something is putting the entire world and the entire cosmos under a strain. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. There has been a cosmic crime, a criminal cosmic crime against the cosmos. Not just human beings, but against against the order of things and the way things are supposed to go that has caused a strain on the interplanetary motive of the nebula, caused a strain on the precession of the equinox, on the frequencies and vibration and energy fields, in the quantum energy. I'm going way out there now. I'm losing some people I know, but I want to pull it back in. But there has been a cosmic crime. But the point I'm getting at, and maybe you answered my question, Alavia, you didn't answer my question. And I want to give you an opportunity. You were trying to ask me a question, and I asked you a question, and then it led into another question that I raised, is how do we get these people who don't know and who refused my whole proposition tonight is that this book was used to establish wealth for people by taking an identity out of this book called the Bible, the Torah, and claiming this book, not the old New Testament, but the Old Testament, because they don't believe in the New Testament. But there's enough information in the Old Testament that says that there's another group of people in the old document, the Torah, of who they are. But how do you get those people to look at this document to find out who the hell they are?
So that's a toughie.
I'll answer that for you. They have to go back. First of all, they have to be connected to God. That's number one. Number two, He made you in His image and in His likeness. That tells a whole lot of discussion that's going around the universe today. Who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? That's the discussion that they had with the Hebrew Israelites. In the book of Chronicles, 7th chapter, it tells you, if my people, now who are these people? Let's stop sugarcoating it, and let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back and look at the pressure that was put on the male children that were born. It's there. It's overlooked. They want a cleansing project. That's the reason why they try to form the image of themselves in relationship with who they want even Christ to be. And it's self-explanatory.
Well, we got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to open up the Q&A because tonight is the last night. We got about 10 more minutes left on this, and there are a group of people who say that when Pharaoh in Egypt persecuted those people and told them to make brick without straw, put them in slavery, bondage for 400 years, worked them for free, they built cities. There's a group of people on this planet that say that that was us. And there's a group of people that say when the Babylonian Empire in Iraq emerged and slaves from these people, they say that was us. And when the Persian Empire, which is modern-day Iran, arose after the Babylonian Empire and took certain ones into captivity, there's a group of people on the planet that say, okay, when that was talked about in the Bible, that's us. And when the Grecians, the first European group, comes into play as a world power, first world power in the stage of history as it is recorded in the Bible and in profane history, secular history, is or the European or the Grecian nation under Alexander the Greek. They say that is us. And when his kingdom fell and split and his four generals took the four provinces of what we call northeastern Africa, there's a group of people that say, hey, that was us. And then when Pompey crossed the Rubicon at around 50 BC and the Roman Empire began to emerge and they forced the Greeks to teach them the culture that they had stolen and went into northeast Africa, into Palestine, into Egypt, and began an oppressive rule 2,000 years ago. There's a group of people say, that was us. That was us. But are they really those people? They use this book to say, hey, all of this, this is us. Now, whether this happened or not, of course, we know now, in light of all the information that we have, that this document that we have, and we call the Bible, excuse me, is not exactly what we think it is.
No.
Because it doesn't balance out with other information that we can prove. Now, we can go along and pontificate, talk about our theology and the way we were taught it, but we have problems. But my point tonight, again, is that this book stands as the only source for the establishment of a people who claims an identity. Get in this discussion. Open up that Q&A for me.
Well, I'd like to add something here.
Q&A session started.
You know, if what you speak is not true about this document called the Bible, then why is it when you go into their court system, they, you still have to place your hand on that Bible? It's their document, and that's what they use even in the court right before you give testimony. So they still use in that very same Bible that you're making this, trying to make this point tonight about that document. The way I see it is that we have an embargo on truth. And globally, that embargo on truth has got to be broken so that the truth comes out in the real history, not their his story. Then the people will begin to awaken to who they really are. And this lie that they call truth will cease to exist at that point. Because the truth is the light, and it will always shine through.
Well, until we get to that point, open up the queue, and you can come into this question. You can just press star 6. Again, that is true what you say. However, until that time arrives that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
right now this book is being used in the courtroom, and this book is being used to validate the wealthiest people on the planet.
Yep.
So what I'm really saying, why can't another group take this book?
Exactly.
To the court.
Yep.
And, say,
and
hey,
claim their rightful inheritance.
This is us. This is who we are.
Yeah.
Force the validity of this book. I don't know if I'm making sense.
In quotes, Revelations, what is that, 3 and 9, 3 and 10?
What about it?
Where it talks about a group of people that are imposters. That's what they are, imposters. The synagogue of Satan. God, everybody left.
I'm listening. I'm waiting for the callers to come in.
Oh, they're here. 318, your mic's open.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I wanted to know how exactly would we go about doing that, identifying ourselves as the people in the Bible, as everybody else has, well, as the ones who the elitists have. How would we do that, and, like, literally, how could we do that when they have even molded and shaped present times to fit their agenda in the Bible and to fulfill some of the prophecies that are in the Bible? So I'm trying to figure out how actually could we identify ourselves with a people that are non-existent, not literally non-existent, but there's like evidence of a Judah that was before the Bible's tribal Judah that I'm researching right now that was never connected to the children of Israel, that was connected to the Hebrews. And as soon as I come up with that information, I think we could use something like that as a as a way to discredit their, interpretation or their ties to the Bible, like the ones, the elitists or the Jewish people or, whatever.
Zionists, yeah.
Zionists, there you go.
And those are
my answer to that question is until you come up with it, let's stick with what we already have come up with, and that is the Bible. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So until you can validate that, and what you say,
have you ever heard of the tribe of Judah before the biblical?
That takes the discussion to another place. But let me say to you that we are all aware of what. Well, we're not all aware. I take that back. But there are a lot of us who are aware of the theft that has occurred in terms of the plagiarization and where this book was plagiarized from. But that is not the focus of my call.